We have been in a series entitled, For Better or Worse, Learning Biblical Principles for the Ups and Downs of Marriage. What do we need to know from the Word of God that will help us strengthen our relationship with God and with our spouse, that will help you and I individually to be the husband or the wife that God has called us to be? And we took 3 weeks to lay the groundwork. What is God's purpose for marriage? And now we're going to dive in to some specific attributes of marriage as we go along in the next couple weeks. We're going to begin that today by looking at the husband's responsibilities. What is the husband's responsibilities going into the marriage relationship? And I know what some of you wives were thinking. Man, Brother Rule, if I knew you were teaching about this today, I would have sent you some notes this week or something, you know. And I did try to study the best I could. I hope this will be a blessing. And if I miss something, let me know later and I'll try to get it in a little later in the series. I picked the perfect Sunday, though, because everybody has an extra hour of sleep. So everybody's come in refreshed, ready, mentally alert to receive what God has. So hopefully this will be an encouragement and a blessing as we look at the husband's responsibilities. Ephesians 5, and begin our reading in verse number 25. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Now, four unique times in Ephesians chapter number 5, God commands husbands to love their wives. And we certainly live in a time in our culture and society where everybody would probably define love a little differently. But the word used here in Ephesians 5 is agape. And it means to give oneself for the other. That's why it is related to the example of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave himself. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Romans 5:8, but God commended his love, means he proved it, when he gave his son, Jesus Christ, who died for us. And so Jesus Christ is our example. He has demonstrated what this love looks like. And then in Ephesians 5, he says, four different times, husbands, love your wives. The way that I love the church, the way that I gave myself for the church, the example that I have provided to you, follow that pattern in the marriage relationship. Take the principles and apply them to your life and to your home to help you to be the husband that God would have you to be. So God's design, God's responsibility given to husbands is to love their wives and to do it in the model of the Lord Jesus Christ. So how did the Lord Jesus Christ love? What can we learn from him that would help us fulfill our responsibility in marriage? And let's dive in and learn a little bit about the love of Christ this morning. And wives, I think you'll find it somewhat applicable to you as well. But don't worry, I have your lesson for next week and it's ready to go. It's a 6-part lesson. It's going to be a real blessing. Now, so let's study. I'm just teasing. The love of Christ, number one. Christ's love is initiated first by himself. The Bible says in 1 John 4, and this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God was sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. Now, Jesus Christ made a decision to love us irregardless of our response. The Lord initiated the love, and it was undeterred whether or not we received it or rejected it. And husbands, that's a challenge. That's an example to you and I to initiate our love to our spouse and to sustain it irregardless of her response. The Lord is teaching us it's not enough to love your wife because she loves you. That's the easy way, all right? But the Lord is saying you love your wife, period. So if you love your wife and she's responding lovely, great. But if you love your wife and she's not responding lovely, so be it. But continue to love. Initiate and sustain that love regardless of the response. And men, we have to make the decision to make the first move, to indicate our love and communicate that to our spouse. And every day, we need to determine, I am going to initiate love for my wife. I'm not going to wait for her to initiate love or care or concern. I'm going to initiate that love. I'm going to be the one that gets it started. And if it's not responded to in the way that I thought it would be, I'm going to persevere. I'm going to hang in there because indeed love will win. And sometimes it doesn't go the way you think it will go. Sometimes in marriage, it can feel like you are trying to love your wife, and in return, she's just throwing darts at you, and everything you say is not right or good, or everything you try doesn't work or should have been done differently, and you feel like I'm putting forth an effort, but it is being responded to the opposite of what I thought I would get. And I just want to challenge you this morning. In that moment, go into the darts. Initiate love and continue to give love no matter what. Sometimes emotions are raw. Sometimes things are misunderstood. Sometimes things don't go the way that we anticipate. But it is important, husbands, that we love our wives as Christ loved. It was initiated by Him and it was sustained by Him irregardless of our response. But notice secondly that Christ's love is enduring. Psalms 118 verse 1. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. The mercy of God endures forever. Now, in learning to love our wife as we should, it indeed is a learned process, okay? It's something that we have to be committed to, and it's something that we have to continue to work at. It takes time to learn how to love our spouse. It's kind of like when she says, it's your decision. What she means is the correct decision should be obvious by now, okay? When she says, what do you want? What she means is you'll pay for this later, okay? When she says, I'll be ready in just a minute, what she means is kick off your shoes and find a good game on TV, all right? When she says you have to learn how to communicate, what she means is just agree with me, you idiot, all right? When she says nothing, what she really means is everything. Now, some of this you don't know right away. You just got married. There's a lot to learn, all right? It's a process. It's a journey. But God says continue to learn and continue to love. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, what husband in our class knows everything about marriage? That's what I thought. None of us, right? And it doesn't matter if you've been married a year, 10, 20. It doesn't matter where on the spectrum of experience you have. None of us have it all figured out. We have to continue to learn. Where's Raymond and Karina? And Raymond and Karina, right back here. And I had the privilege of doing their wedding on Thursday. And one of the challenges I give to the men is to love, to lead, and the third word is to learn. And I talk about 1 Peter 3:7 and the fact that a husband from day one needs to commit to a lifelong learning process of how to love their wife. And it's an enduring kind of love. And as we seek to learn, we will discover what our love can accomplish. Notice the description found in your notes in 1 Corinthians 13. Charity, which is synonymous with love, suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, bearing all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's the power of love. And so men, we have to decide, I'm going to love my wife with an enduring love. I'm going to continue to learn about her and how to express that love, but I'm not going to quit. We've got to be committed to the relationship and to learning and expressing our love. Soon after their last child went off for college, a wife was resting next to her husband there on the couch, and she had her head there in his lap, and he carefully removed her glasses, and he said, "You know, honey, without your glasses, you look like the same beautiful young woman that I married." And she said, "Honey, without my glasses, you still look pretty good too." And, you know, things change over time, but we want to be committed to learning and to loving our spouse. And can I remind our class, and we may touch on this a dozen times through this series, but divorce is never an option. You say, "Well, that's what you think." Well, let's look at what God says. Look in your notes at Mark 10:9. "What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." When we stood at a marriage altar and we said, "I do, till death do us part," that's done. There's no plan B. There's no exit strategy. There's no, "We'll try this for a while, and if it doesn't go well, we'll try something else." None of those options exist. We are in the marriage relationship, and God's design is that we would learn in a committed environment and continue to love our spouse in an enduring fashion. But notice thirdly, that Christ's love is verbalized. In Jeremiah 31:3, "The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love." God communicates his love toward us. Fellas, do you remember the first time that you told your wife that you loved her? Do you remember what a big deal that was? And maybe wanting to make sure that the ambiance was just right. Maybe it was a special date. Maybe it was a special event. Maybe it was a special moment in the development of the relationship. Or maybe you just, you know, went for it. I don't know. But it was a big deal the first time we expressed those three words, "I love you." And as we continue to do that in the marriage relationship, it's so much more than just communicating maybe romantic feelings. But research has actually revealed that saying the words "I love you" also represents a commitment to future behavior. You mean, what they're teaching is that when we sincerely communicate to our spouse, "I love you," we're committing to them to express that through our behavior, both in their presence and when we are away from them, that our spirit, that our attitude, that our behavior will communicate that indeed we love them. And fellas, listen, when we do not properly and frequently express our love to our wife, it leaves an open door for Satan to plant seeds of doubt and suspicion in their mind. And Satan never fights fair. The Bible says in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But God says, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Satan wants to destroy our lives and our marriages. And he indeed will plant seeds of doubt, discouragement, and despair. So what do we need to do? Keep our marriages strong. And there's lots of ways to do that. But one simple one is to communicate to our spouse, "I love you." And men, I want to encourage you to express your love to your spouse. Do it frequently. Do it specifically. Do it honestly. What do you love about your wife? Communicate that to her. And say it verbally, looking her in the eye. Communicate it with a card or a text. Write it on the mirror in the bathroom. And if you use your most expensive lipstick, pay for that as well. But whatever you have to do, communicate, "Sweetheart, I love you." Make sure that love is verbalized. Number four, Christ's love is compassionate. Psalms 112, verse 4. "Unto the upright there riseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous." Now, to be compassionate means to care. And we must love our wife in a way that shows we truly care. The Bible says of the Lord in Jude 22, "And if some have compassion, making a difference." Men, we ought to make a difference in our marriages because we love and because we care. And our love for our wife should be making a positive difference in her life. Okay? Let's put where the rubber meets the road. And let's be honest. Let's take a self-assessment. The life of our wife right now, because of the addition of our love, is how much better now than it was when we met her and married her. That's the difference the love of Christ makes. The love of Christ is a compassionate love. It's a caring love. It's a giving love. We are better because of the love of Christ. Well, Christ says, "That's my example. Your wife should be better because of your love, because of the love that you are expressing to her. And our wife should know that we love her, that whatever she's facing, any trial, any problem, that we care about her and about those things. Our wife, our bride, is God's gift to us. And our care of her and our expression of love is our gift back to the Lord. Now, I don't know if this is in your Bible or not, but maybe you heard the story about when Eve was created. God was talking with Adam, and they were conversing back and forth. And he said, Adam, you know, you need a helper. And Adam said, I really do, Lord. I've got a lot going on. And God said, well, what if I make you a woman, and she'll be perfect. She'll be beautiful. She'll rub your back at night and your feet in the morning. She'll plop grapes into your mouth. She'll prepare all your favorite meals without fail. She'll clean up the kitchen and take care of the kids. You'll never have to do a thing. Just sit around and be the king of your house. And Adam said, wow, that sounds amazing, but what's that going to cost? And God said, well, it's pretty expensive. It would cost you an arm and a leg. And Adam thought about that for a minute. He said, well, how much can I get for a rib? And sometimes in our marriage, we can evaluate our commitment and care and expression based upon what we think about someone else. But Christ said, listen, I loved and I cared. And Christ said, I want you to love your spouse as I loved you. Now, men, the truth of the matter is, every one of us in this room married over our head. And by that, I mean we got better than we deserved, all right? And how thankful we are for that. How grateful I am for my wife, Susanna. We celebrated 17 years last June, and she's God's gift to me. And, you know, sometimes even in a class like this, when your husband's up teaching on marriage and maybe says something he shouldn't say or, you know, insinuates something or whatever, and she's amazing. She's a trooper. She writes the lesson. She smiles anyway at the jokes, you know, and she's incredible. And we're so thankful, fellas, for the fact that God has blessed us with an amazing wife and an amazing spouse. And we must love them with a Christ-like love, a compassionate love, demonstrating care. Our wife should know at a baseline that we truly care for her. Number five, Christ's love is demonstrated by action. The Bible says in John 3:16 that God loved and he gave. Romans 5:8, he commended that love. While we were sinners, he died. And our love, men, should be demonstrated by action. There should be something there tangibly that is a result of the fact that we love, okay? It's like the man who was up and he was thumbing through the paper, sitting at the breakfast table, and his wife came over and pat him on the shoulder and looked at him and smiled and said, I bet you don't know what today is, do you? And he looked at her and he said, well, of course I do. And she went on about her business, and he sat there and he started to think, what in the world is today? He didn't have a clue what today was. And he was afraid that maybe he was missing a special day. His wife was very much into celebrating special days, super sensitive about making sure those things go well. And he thought, sure enough, he had forgotten a doozy. So he thought to himself, it's got to be her birthday. So he went to work, and when he got to work, he called the florist. He had a beautiful bouquet of flowers designed and put together and sent over to his wife and began to feel a little better about, okay, I've got something done. And he was kind of going throughout his day, and he thought, you know, what if flowers is not enough? I mean, what if it's not her birthday? What if it's our wedding anniversary? And so during his lunch hour, he went over to the jewelry store and picked out a beautiful necklace and had that all prepared and special delivered to the house. And now he was feeling better that birthday or anniversary, he had to be covered. Flowers, nice jewelry, he thought everything was fine. And then on his drive home from work, he thought, just in case I've missed something else, he stopped off at the store and got a beautiful card and a box of chocolates. And he got in the home and pulled up in the driveway, and his wife ran out to greet him, and he got out of the car, and he gave her that card, and he gave her those chocolates, and sure that he had come through on whatever the day was. And she threw her arms around him, and she said, oh, sweetheart, this is the best Groundhog's Day I have ever had before. Now, he missed the day, but the actions were there. And fellas, it's important that our love is communicated in our actions, that there's tangible evidence of the fact that we love our wife. Christ loved us, and he proved it on the cross. the question of whether or not God loved or how much he loved was answered emphatically. Okay, so let's answer that question for ourselves personally this morning. Do we have evidence of that? Is it abundantly clear that we love our wife? Is there action there to back that up? Is there evidence to prove the condition of our heart? The Bible says in John 13:35, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love one toward another. And that certainly should be evident in the marriage relationship. But notice number six in our study, that Christ's love does what is best for us. In Romans 8:28, we're encouraged to know that all things work together for good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. And God loves us, and through his love, he does what is best for us. He gave himself for us, and he'll use even the mistakes that we make for our own good. And men, we have to evaluate our love. Are we loving our spouse in a way that is best for them? Are we doing what is best for our relationship and for their well-being? There was a young man that was doing everything he could to work up the company ladder, wanting to be more successful and gain some promotions. And so in a three-week period of time, he put in over 50 hours of overtime working on a brand new project. One night he slipped in about 12:30 and quietly got ready for bed, and then slipped into the bed and doing his best to not make any noise or a stir. And upon feeling the movement of that bed just slightly, the wife woke up and just long enough to say, "Sweetheart, you've got to learn to alphabetize." He didn't want to wake her up or have a long discussion, but that caught his curiosity. What in the world does she mean? So he said, "Sweetheart, what do you mean?" And without missing a beat, she said, "Honey, wife comes before work." And she was challenging her husband, "Sweetheart, I'm feeling neglected because of what you're pursuing." And fellas, we have to recognize that our love needs to be what is best for her. I know we live in a culture and in a society that does not value a strong marriage as much as it does some other things. But can I encourage you this morning, find your values in the Word of God. And make sure you can align your life's pursuit with what's in this book, God's design for your life. And I'm not saying that it's wrong for a man to work hard. I think he should. I think Christians ought to be the hardest working people in any workplace. I think their work ethic should give them a platform to witness to anyone about Jesus Christ. I think we ought to do all things as unto the Lord, a labor of love to Jesus Christ. That could be a lesson in and of itself. But I do think we all must be careful that we are loving our wife in a way that is best for them, and make sure that we're not neglecting them, or make sure that we're not devaluing them for something that in the eyes of the Lord holds no value compared to them in any way, shape, or form. We learned as we studied God's purpose that outside of our relationship with God, the most important relationship we have is with our spouse. So let's do what's best for them. And men, can I challenge you? What your wife needs is your leadership. Ephesians 5, verse 22, the Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord." Now, this is part of my six-week mini-series starting next week on the responsibilities of the wives. You're going to have to come. It's going to be a real barn burner. But anyway, but God says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Follow their leadership." Now, men, I would submit to you that if a wife is going to be able to follow the leadership of her husband, he's going to have to lead. And men, can I just say it to you in the most loving way I know how? Very few men lead their homes. And I just want to encourage you, lead. Lead your home spiritually. There should not have to be a wife of any husband in this room dragging her husband to church. Lead. Brother Larry preached a phenomenal message about the gathering of the church. If you didn't hear it at 8:30, you'll hear it at 11, and you'll be encouraged. And it's another biblical reminder of why going to church is so important. But can I challenge the men in this room? Lead. You're up early Sunday morning. You're excited about the Lord's Day. You've got Christian music on in the home. You're helping the kids get ready. You're doing whatever has to be done to make sure the family is in their place and being ministered to. You're making sure the family has a time to gather around and to read the Word of God, to spend some time taking prayer requests and just praying unto the Lord. You are spiritually leading your family. Fellas, that's our responsibility. That's my job. God gifted me with a wife. God blessed me with four amazing kids. And it is my job to lead. And that's not to dominate over, but it is to serve. It's to get out in front. It's to lead the way. It's to provide an example and a pattern. And men, let's do that in our homes and in our marriages, to lead spiritually, to lead relationally. It should not be our wife setting up all the dates and all the time together and the things that we might do. Take leadership in that. She's your bride. Lead in your relationship. Invest your love in her. Set up some things that you can enjoy together. Lead emotionally. You say, Brother Rule, there's something bothering my wife and I have no idea what it is. And you may never understand it. But lead. Care. Hold her. Provide a shoulder. Do your best to listen and learn. And at the end of the day, you may not connect all the dots to how she got from that to how she feels. But you can tell her you love her. And that you're there no matter what. And that because it's a big deal to her, it's a big deal to you. Lead. Lead physically. Hold your wife's hand. Open the door for her. Make it obvious in a crowd of people that's your wife. Lead. That's our responsibility. And I'm telling you, in 2018, wives are desiring men who will lead. Now, I'm not talking about coming home at work and, you know, bless God, take off my shoes and feed me my dinner. I'm not talking about being a jerk. I'm talking about being a spiritual leader. And by the way, what does that look like? Go back to Christ. How did Jesus serve? Well, he came in and he washed the feet of the disciples. He didn't have a place to lay his head, and it didn't matter. And when they were tired and wanted a day off, he still taught. Jesus provides for you and I a selfless example of leadership. And men, may all of us in this room say, Lord, help me to lead. I want to love my wife and fulfill my responsibility to be a leader in the home. Number 7, Christ's love is self-sacrificial. In John 10:11, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. God did not expect anything from us, but he gave us everything, and he gave himself for us. And fellas, may we give ourselves for our spouse. In Ephesians 5, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord of the church. Guys, we take pretty good care of ourselves. And sometimes if we're not careful, we're living the first class life. But the display of our love to our wife is like baggage car. It's rough. And we've got to assess that and say, hey, how am I doing? Is my love self-sacrificial? What does that mean? Is my love like Christ? What does that mean? Do I love my wife in a way that her needs, desires, and wants are ahead of mine? That a good day is not whether or not I did what I wanted, but a good day is a day I got to serve her and do something for her. That was a good day. A self-sacrificial love. Number 8, Christ's love involves treasuring us, even though we're not worthy. We don't have time to study Luke 15, but the prodigal son, and he came home, and the father ran and met him and kissed him and threw a party for him and was so excited that the boy was back. And may you and I, as that exemplifies the love of Christ, love our spouse and treasure them, even when in our minds or someone is telling us that maybe that's not what should be happening. Dr. Robert Sizer, in his book about the art of surgery, told the story about a young husband and wife, and he had to operate removing a tumor from the wife's face. And in the process, and unavoidably, he had to cut a facial nerve. And the result was a permanent dislocation of her face. When she came to and she saw it, she was so devastated. And she asked the doctor, will it always be this way? And he answered her truthfully that it would. She then looked at her husband and what would his reaction be? And he said, sweetheart, I kind of like it. It's kind of cute. Then he bent over and he distorted his own face just slightly so that it would match hers. And then he kissed her. The surgeon in his memoirs wrote, I felt like at that very moment in that room, I was in the presence of God. What could have been a point of division was now being used as a point of strength. Why? Because a husband decided, this is God's gift. And no matter what we face, I am going to treasure the wife that God has given to me. Friend, God loves you and I despite who we are and despite what we do. And we can choose if we want to focus on our wife's weaknesses and shortcomings and constantly make that the headline of every day, or we can choose to focus on her strengths and her gifts and love her because she is God's gift to us. And then number 9 as we close, Christ's love is not based on performance. Psalms 103:10, the Bible says, He hath not dwelt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. In John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. God does not love you and I because we earned it. God does not love you and I because we loved Him first. We already learned He loved us first. And Christ's love is irregardless of our performance and an ability to earn it. Christ's love because that's who He is. Fellas, our wives should not have to earn our love. It should be freely given every single day from all of us to them because God gave them to us. And may you and I make a decision that we are going to love with a Christ-like love. Thinking of her first and doing our best to exemplify the love of Christ in our love for her. And can I encourage you this morning, 1 John 4:8, in conclusion of your notes, the Bible says, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And can I just challenge you? If you know God, you can do this. And you say, man, Gabe, I don't know. The love of Christ is kind of a tall order. That's a high standard. That's a lot of expectations, I know. And we're just going to have to keep doing our best every single day. But can I encourage you this morning? If you know God, that's all you need. Because God is love. And God, in His strength, by His Spirit, can produce this love through you to your spouse. So, fellas, here's the question. Are you going to let God do that? Because that's what God wants to do. God wants your wife to feel your love the way you feel the love of Christ. And He will do that through you if you will let Him. So my challenge to you is let God produce the love of Christ through you to your spouse. And may your love for her be an evidence of your love for the Lord Jesus Christ. On the back of our handout this morning, I gave 4 simple discussion questions. And I want to encourage you as a husband and wife sometime this week, get together and go through these and talk about how are we doing, specifically men, how are we doing in loving our wife? And men, may we embrace the responsibility of being a husband. It's a high calling. It's a great honor. It's awesome. None of us are perfect. We all have room to improve. So let's encourage one another. But let's not stay where we are. Let's go forward. Let's get better and let's grow. And then every wife, now we took attendance, we have photographic proof who was here today, and next week we are teaching on the responsibilities of wives. And if you are not here, that's going to be a very bad thing. So you need to make sure you're here next Sunday for that. It'll be a great time together. Heavenly Father, we love you, and we thank you, Lord, for your word, and we thank you for the practical challenge and encouragement that we find when it comes to being husband and wife. And Lord, we think about the responsibility of being a husband. What a high calling. What a great honor. And Lord, thank you for your example. And may we, as we consider your love, apply those principles to our life that we may love our spouse accordingly. Lord, bless the marriages and families in our class. Richly bless them is my prayer. And we'll praise and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.